The glory of sex and romance in marriage. Everybody stand up, shake a little bit. Shake off the tirednesses. Let's open your notebooks, please, to page 32. 32. Page 32, the glory of sex and romance in marriage. The glory of sex and romance in marriage. Listen in God's own words. Song of Solomon 7. This is back on page 27. I got a question for you. We all know that the book of Romans is more anointed and more God-breathed than the Song of Solomon, right? That was a trick question. Thank you. The Word of God is the Word of God. Song of Solomon is God-breathed. All right, listen, solid theology of sex is so important. We did this one time and one guy was just so honest, he raised his hand and said, theology of sex, that sounds like an oxymoron. Because he's thinking God and sex don't mix, and that's kind of the culture. When in fact, who thought of sex the very first time? Who? Who thought of it? Who designed it? Who made the hormonal system, the intense feeling, who smiled about it at the beginning. Get it, soak in that, and it will bring freedom and joy to your sexual relationship. And after he created it and created male and female, he said, very good. And he smiles and blesses every part of romance, every part of the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. And the problem is that we're broken. We've sinned. We've done wrong in the past. And that's why we need to go to God and get cleansed from our sexual sin of the past and our sexual thoughts. And by the way, gentlemen, and you know who you are, but I just want to say this. What would you feel like if 2 to 4 hours or 6 or 7 hours or 30 minutes a week your wife sat with a picture in front of her of a man who she fantasized about wishing she was in his arms? How would you feel? Think about that next time you're tempted to do pornography. Anyway, you want brokenness in your sexual relationship, that'll break it. Repent. And if you need help, get help. But turn from it. Be killing it or it will be killing you. All right, so back to page 27. This is God, how beautiful you are and how pleasing, O love, with your delights. Your stature is like that of a palm and your breasts like clusters of fruit. I said, I'll climb the palm tree. I'll take hold of its fruit. May your breasts be like the clusters of the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples and your mouth like the best wine.
May the wine go straight to my lover, flowing gently over lips and teeth. I belong to my lover, and his desire is for me. Come, my lover, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes send out their fragrance, and at our door is every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my lover.
This is God's idea, ladies and gentlemen, and we are so excited to be able to talk about this, and I just want to once again remind you of the books that are out there, but I want to give away two books, and just in case there's anybody else that would still like Intended for Pleasure. If you would like it there, he wanted it before. He was really quick that time. Okay. And this one is The Song of Songs, a commentary on the Song of Solomon, and it's just really, really well done. Anybody? Jim, you already got one book, didn't you? No? That was somebody else. Okay. All right. The theology, that book, Gledhill's book on the Song of Solomon's, the book of the one who got the green book? What's it called? Sex and the Supremacy of Christ. Get that one. We're talking about building a theology, God's view of sex, right? And also Intended for Pleasure. We would highly recommend those to you. Some practical things to do concerning your sexual relationship together. Read and reread the Song of Songs together. This inspired book is not just for newlyweds, it's for the entirety of your marriage. Read it, soak it in. God said, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And the word of God, this is part of the word of God, meditate. And the washing of that water of the word of God will help your own mind be renewed. The tenor of Song of Solomon is not merely sexual, though it's that. It's more fully the husband's delight in and love for his wife, and the wife's delight in and love for him. They want to be together a lot. They want to spend time together. Now, don't respond to this, but I want you to think. Do you delight spending time together with your spouse? Is that like highlight? And I just want to appeal to you. If not, I don't want you to be condemned, but I want you to understand God's desire for you is that you would desire being alone with your spouse. It would be a desire. And I understand there are time limitations for all of us, but when you can get the time, the real question is, when you do have time, do you want to be with him? Do you want to be with her? And if not, please get on your knees somewhere with God and say, oh God, restore to me this. Please. It's like a movie, the Song of Songs, where you see the stars and the forefront very vividly and clearly. You know what I'm talking about? The movies? And everything else is blurry in the background. Do you want to be alone together a lot? If not, this is a call to arms. Drop to your knees. Cry out together. Lord, fill us with desire for each other. Take the clothes off and get in bed. Don't just look at me like that. I mean, do something. Don't just, you know, be in a rut. Whoops. Called for that, didn't it? The next practical thing that we would recommend. You want to read this one?
Determined to make romance and intimacy and sex a top priority.
And how do you do that? Page 32, number two. Page 32, number two. Make it a top priority. And how do you do that? Do a little project together. Get together and say, okay, let's make a list of things we could cut out of our life. Let's make a list, some things we can't cut out, but let's make a list of, and it might be hard to cut out, but let's make a list of things that we could cut out. That could revolutionize your life, just doing that, so that there's more time. Now, please understand what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is, in God's eyes, romance and sexual intimacy are not an add-on. They're not like, oh, we have this life and marriage and relationship and we just add a little romance and sex into it. No, it's part of it. It's an integral part of the whole process. Number three. Want to read it?
Remember that your sexual relationship is both a result and a cause of intimacy.
Do you get the point of that? Some people say, and I used to say this, sex should just be a manifestation of the closeness that you already have. That has kind of a high-sounding ring to it. But the fact is, that is true. But sex also helps to produce the closeness. Both work together. It's just the way God designed it. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, remember what he said to husbands and wives? He said, hey, man, your body doesn't belong to you. Hey, woman, your body doesn't belong to you. Belongs to him, belongs to her. And don't you dare cut each other off from each other's body unless you agree together for a time of prayer. Right? These looks are really amazing that I'm getting. It's kind of like, all I'm doing is telling you scripture. That's, I'm not like coming up with something new here. This has been in the Bible for like 2,000 years, right? Now, some guys are going to think, yeah, see? But I want to tell you guys, touch her mind and her heart before you touch her body. Some of you guys think your wife's withholding herself from you when she's just so hurt because of the way you've been treating her. It's hard for her to give you your body, her body. You got to touch her heart and mind. It all flows together. Y'all see that? It all works together. All right, number four. Get help if you're having problems. Problems are common in the sexual relationship, and you're not alone. Get a copy of Intended for Pleasure. He goes into some of that. And may we share, just open our hearts to you and share just an example of a problem that we had to deal with? Or is that kind of freaking you out that we're going to do that? Okay. Okay, Linda, go ahead.
Okay. Guess whose problem it was? has anybody heard of orgasmic headaches?
Yes, I have.
Wow. Okay. You're actually the first, I think. Oh, okay. Okay. Migraine headaches are the big umbrella. Thunderclap headaches come under that. And orgasmic headaches come under that. This is not tonight, honey, I have a headache. This is not what this is. What an orgasmic headache is as you're approaching orgasm, right as you hit peak, it feels like somebody has taken a sledgehammer and slammed it into your head. And the pain is so incredibly intense, it is unbelievable. And a couple years ago, I started having orgasmic headaches. And I would lay there and sob. It hurt so badly. And then if it was allowed to continue and I had an orgasm while it was still coming, I would not be well for a couple days. The headache would linger. I would feel dizzy and faint. I would feel like I would feel not well. I mean, it was really bad. And I called my doctor and I explained to him what was happening. And he said, I haven't had anybody that's had that. And so I went online. And you got to be careful when you start researching stuff online. But there are safe places to go, and there is a way to get information. And that's how I found out what I've been able to tell you about them. They come, they go, they don't know why they're there. As I worked with my doctor, he helped me to, he said, okay, I want you to pause for a couple weeks. There was a little concern about stroke. And then he said, okay, now I want you to go and I want you to try this. And the redemptive part of it was that as we communicated and talked, there became a real sweetness, and God used it as to create oneness, more oneness in our sexual relationship, because this was a big deal. You can imagine, I got to where I don't know if I can do this again.
How'd you like to have that hanging over your head? And so it was, it had the potential to drive us apart. Right? But we turned to God and he pulled us together through it.
And we learned to work with it. And we learned how to make it so that it wouldn't be quite so bad or hardly at all. And then eventually it just went away. And then about a year later it happened again and I had a few weeks not as bad. But we learned from the first time. So the point is this, you're going to have problems. Get help.
Yes.
Find out what you can do. Sometimes a problem might simply be a question of technique. And if that's all it is and you just need a little tip to help, then get help. And there's help out there, the Intended for Pleasure. It could really help you. So we would urge you, get the help where you need help.
Amen. Amen. Ed Wheat, in the book Intended for Pleasure, addresses the whole issue of aging. Now, Linda and I got married. We were in our 50s. And Linda had a friend who was basically kind of almost not writing us off, but, you know, well, you know, men get blah, blah, blah. So, and I said, yeah, excuse me. You know, so, all right. So here's what Ed Wheat has to say about it. Now, understand, people are different, and some people have different problems, and whether aging or not aging, and we're not making a blanket statement. I just want to read what he found out in his research. Men, the gradual, very slight physiological decline in sex drive with advancing years can be put in proper perspective by realizing that we reach the height of our sexual vigor at about age 17 or 18. And the decline begins then. All right? So any of these myths out there that say, yeah, well, you hit 50, 60, 70, whatever, don't listen. Just that in your mind can cause the problem. The important thing to remember is that aging itself will not prevent you from attaining or maintaining an erection. You may have less frequently, less forcefully, with less volume. But because sex is a natural lifetime function, if you have an enthusiastic and willing partner, glory to God, the gradual physiological decline will have little or no bearing on your sexual relationship.
Wives, you should know that women do not decline physiologically in their sex drive. In many cases, women continue to increase in desire from the time of their youth into their 70s and beyond. In this period of your marriage, you may find yourself becoming more and more active sexually, particularly with fear of pregnancy gone. Your enthusiastic participation will provide maximum pleasure for both you and your husband in the years after 60. And additional research has found, and I maybe should have said this to you ladies when we were talking about this before, it's healthy as you get older, physically, for us to healthy for us to have sex. It's good for our bodies. It's not bad.
Amen. Now, obviously we don't have time in this seminar to go into all the ins and outs. There are lots of ins and outs, and different people have different struggles, but we wanted to give you that general thing. So let's go to the next thing. Practically, increase the joy of your sexual intimacy. Where are we? Number 5. By not tying it all to orgasm. Linda and I have found that we can have tons of sexual pleasure without coming to orgasm and actually have that build sexual tension sometime over hours or even over a day or two. And it just increases all the joy and the pleasure of it. You ought to see the looks that you're giving. It's like I'm talking a foreign language here. This is really funny. It's like you all are saying, I don't get what you're talking. Don't give me that. I know what you're talking about. So does that make sense? I think a lot of us get locked into this idea, sex equals orgasm. And the whole point is once you start, you got to bring it. And that's not necessarily true at all. You can have a lot of enjoyment together outside of orgasm. Yes. Yeah, that's good, yeah.
So what that might look like is in the afternoon after a nap, we call them play times. We might have a play time. And then we'll go on our date, and then we'll come back, and we'll bring play time to culmination. You see?
So you're being pretty straightforward here.
Well, I'm trying to help with the blank stares. Because there are times when sexual tension is good, and we want to take advantage of that and cultivate it.
Next point. crock pot versus microwave. Men, microwave. Women, crock pot. Guys, your wife needs time to cook, all right? Okay? Right? And a lot of problems are caused with that little simple issue. 20 minutes makes a big difference. 20, 30 minutes makes a huge difference. And also marinating in loving kindness throughout the day. You know, hey, pick up the phone, call. I'm thinking about you. Even a short text, I'm thinking about you. And, you know, how have you been doing? Is there anything I can pray about? Connection, contact, right? It all fits together. Everybody okay? Good. Okay. Take time to bask in the afterglow. Make it extra special. And do we have time for that or no? What do you think?
For this one?
No. Oh. The island?
Oh. Yes.
Do we? Okay. Oh, Linda, love, what did I do with that? I had it. Thank you all for your patience.
While you're looking, can I say something here?
Yeah, please.
You're talking about such a woman's heart and mind for her body.
Yes.
But then that can cause tension and walls and rust because if he doesn't get what he wants and she ain't getting what she wants, and it becomes a ball that bounces back and forth and the rut in the wall gets bigger all the time.
Yeah, well, one of the problems with that, frankly, is just the thought process of saying him getting what he wants and her getting what her wants. Where we should get to is what he wants is what she wants. And what she wants is what he wants. I mean, that's where we should get to. That's what we should be aiming for. Does that make sense? And I understand. I think what you're saying, you can take that to extreme, and the woman could actually use that against the man and saying, we're not going to get together sexually until you reach this level of touching my mind. And I'm not talking, that's not the point of this is we're working on intimacy and closeness where we're serving each other and caring for each other. And the point of that is for you, Paul, or any of us husbands to think, I want to bless this woman more than I want my sex. And for the woman to think, I want to respect and love my man more than I want to put this expectation on it. Do you see what I mean? It's a heart thing toward, and we got to be broken. We got to be broken of our own self-centered lust for what we want. And God wants us to. But that almost, you could almost over spiritualize and take away the, yeah, God wants us to enjoy it too. So go ahead. Our bed is an island.
Life is crazy, isn't it? It's busy. We were talking about that earlier. We were talking about the nonstop. And one thing that we've discovered is that our bed is like a refuge. When we shut the door and get into it, and sometimes we get into it with our clothes on during the middle of the day, sometimes clothes off, but it's a refuge. And as I was reflecting on that, I wrote this, and we wanted to read it to you so that you could grab hold of it as a vision for yourselves. Our bed is an island. How many times has that picture entered my mind when Chris and I are enjoying being together in bed? How often have I felt like our bed, with Chris and I safely ensconced in the center, is floating in a God-protected bubble? We are out of harm's way, secured and sheltered. Lovemaking is over. We lie there snuggling and talking and holding each other tightly. Our conversation, with unspoken parameters, rambles. For the most part, problems are left outside our bubble. If they're discussed, it's always with the underpinnings of God's faithfulness and mercies. On our island, hope and peace and joy reign. We dance from one topic to another, the birth of our love story, God's midwifery of our marital oneness, his current faithfulness in our lives as a couple and as a family, There is only joy and comfort in repeating the things we've said to each other so many times before. No topic is so familiar that it has grown old. Every thought, no matter how often it's been expressed before, is fair play. Repetition, year in and year out, makes us stronger as a couple. I take joy in telling Chris what I delight about in him. He does the same for me. I ponder as I lie there why I love him so much. Thoughts flow like water from a hidden spring. The sweet incense of our prayers intermingles all of it as an offering to the God who created our oneness. We are, we three, a cord that is not easily broken. It's not lost on either of us that these times of closeness are a gift. Two being one flesh and two becoming one flesh all at the same time. Life in all its complexities and harshness lies waiting outside. For now, it's enough to know that we are being strengthened to meet it as we lie here softly laughing and breathing in time. We are together and completely content.
And some of you are thinking, man, they just, what an easy life they have. Our house is like crazy. And so we don't want that to get... What we're saying by that is door gets shut, locked, and we're alone outside of the craziness when that's taking place. All right, let's go to... The one night per month make it really special is just an idea we read somewhere that, you could think like that. And it could be in a way, or it could be a very special romantic night out. It could be whatever to make that night of sexual oneness a particularly special evening or day or whatever. It's just something for you to think about.
You know, somebody said it can't be all steak and potatoes. lots of times of sex are just going to be macaroni and cheese, and that's good and right, and there's something healthy about that. But there's times when it can be a steak and potatoes night. And those times we can help along. Maybe get candles or soft music or change the lighting or change the sheets or whatever it may be that helps to spark a little spark.
Amen. And notice at the end there, rejoice in the fact that sex is a sunbeam pointing to a glory in heaven that we cannot begin to imagine. Question. Will there be sex in heaven? Some of you are kind of going along with the flow, but you don't really know. Okay. Let's make it really clear. It's impossible that there's going to be sex in heaven because there'll be no marriage in heaven. There's only be one marriage in heaven, and that's Christ and his bride, and that will not be sexual. And so we have to think, you know, I believe the new heaven and new earth, the new earth is going to be a much of what we see on this earth, only totally without the fall all over. I believe there's going to be beauty and grass and trees and mountains. Whatever we see here is going to be much greater, right? Do you all agree with that? Then why not sex? If sex is such an ultimate place of God's design of intimacy and oneness, why not? And here's what the answer seems to be. It's pointing to something in terms of intimacy that we're going to have with God that we can't even begin to imagine. But it's like a sunbeam pointing there. And it's really important in your theology of sex to have that as part of it. Let it be then I'm not talking about over-spiritualizing sex. That is done sometimes. You know, and it's a gift from God, and he wants you to fully enjoy it with each other for the glory of God. But there's also this element of looking and thinking, wow, what is heaven going to be like? He wants us to be looking for heaven. Amen. Amen. Amen.